Welcome to Dark History Time with Brian. A few things before we get started. Need to let you know that you might find some of this material disturbing. We do use adult language on the show. Listener discretion is advised. You'll follow along on this new endeavor. My name's Brian Ward. I've put on the Dark History and Horror Convention for about 6 years now. Prior to that, my interest started probably back in junior high. Always been kind of into the abnormal psychology of things, and clearly the interest in how in-depth I've gotten with things has just followed along through the years. To give you an idea, I'd say that's probably better than 30 years. I'm 47 years old now. Junior high'd make you, what, 13 years old? 13, 14 years old, so.
Roughly. Yeah.
Little over 30 years. Started off with the old-time life, fake leather-bound books, and just kind of grew from there. Being here in the state of Illinois, Chicago, Al Capone, Richard Speck murders, John Wayne Gacy murders, things of that nature were just readily available to find the material on that. So that kind of started the interest and piqued the interest. Moved up to Helter Skelter and read that, and away we went. So what I'm hoping to accomplish with this podcast is just to share some of the things that I have learned through all of my independent research, through all the things that I've read, watched, listened to throughout the years. I like to think that I know some more obscure ones that I think people should be more aware of, and that's what I'm hoping to bring forward with the podcast here. Calling it Dark History Time with Brian just ties in with what the theme has always been, dark history, the Dark History and Horror Convention. Hope to eventually get the YouTube channel going along as well. Original Facebook page was Brian's Dark History and Pop Culture. So yeah, it just all ties in. I seriously doubt that I coined the term dark history, but I hadn't heard it used much prior to what I say. And now it seems to be kind of, I've seen a lot of other podcasts have that in there. And most people seem to know what it means. But for those of you just tuning in, coming across it, not sure what you've got going on, my focus has always been your serial killers, spree killers, school shootings, assassinations. I go as far back in my interest to basically us stealing the United States from the Native people, Native American massacres. I tend not to get real into things that happened outside of the United States, with the obvious exceptions. The incident at Chernobyl, getting into the rise of the Nazis and things of that nature would probably be a very long series that I know has been done by better people. I don't consider myself an expert on anything. If you're tuning in expecting to hear that, I will say that I think I'm relatively humble when it comes to that. I have not done any formal schooling in forensic psychology, abnormal psychology, anything like that. This is all self-taught, self-researched, independent stuff that I've come across, and I just happen to, for some reason or another, my brain absorbs that better and it sticks. So that's what I do. It's my passion. It's my hobby. It's what I love to talk about. I always want to continually learn more about these topics. Hopefully we get a good base of listeners, and if you guys come up with things that you know about that you say, hey, you know, hit up whatever page we might be on. Brian, do you know about this one? And if I don't, turn me on to it. I love that shit. I can't get enough of it. So always looking to learn more. And hopefully the target audience here that we're going to be talking to is in the same boat, always wanting to learn more and come across me. And maybe I tell you about some cases you don't know about.
And that's kind of the direction that you want to go with this, right? Just kind of go more specifically, like deep dives into case by case.
Exactly, exactly. And some things that have unfortunately been lost to history, so to speak, as far as a lot of the things pre-internet. Some of the big names, of course, you know, the Bundys, the Gacys, the Dahmers. Of course, I will get into those, but I'm talking more, we hit it on our previous, or on our current and other podcast, Morbidly Macabre. I talked about the Collinwood School Fire, turn of the century, 1900s, you know, things of those of that nature that are big tragic events that just have kind of been forgotten or haven't been taught or shown, and people haven't stumbled across them for some reason or another. I want to bring those to light.
Now, I know earlier you brought up the YouTube channel, and yes. I know that's got more things to come its way.
Correct.
That's going to be kind of a similar thing to this, more of like an audio version of that, because you do actually go out, visit these sites.
Yes.
You get footage of it, which is cool. Correct. That's the place for YouTube. That way they can see everything
and
kind of get a, put themselves in that.
And that was the next step in the hobby. After I started reading about all these things, then I kind of, all right, what's within a few hours driving time? And I started to try to visit locations where these events happened. Some of those are documented with picture and a narrative that I typed up on my original Brian's Dark History and Pop Culture page on Facebook. So you can find some of those there. I don't pull quotes or anything from Wikipedia, and I don't rely on Wikipedia. Those narratives that you see are things that I typed up myself, which led to people asking if I'd ever write a book about these type of things. That became a thing for a few years where people were bugging me to write a book about it. I shouldn't say bugging me. We're suggesting that I write a book about it. I have yet to do that. That might be in the future. Sort of from that did spawn the first book that I did co-author on Jeffrey Dahmer, simply titled Jeffrey Dahmer, The Confessions of the Milwaukee Cannibal. We can get into that in a further episode if anybody's interested, and I'm sure the interest is there for Mr. Dahmer. It's a fascinating case. But yeah, the bridge that Gacy dumped his last victims off of, the former location of Gacy's house, which that exact address doesn't exist. The neighborhood kind of petitioned to get that erased, basically. So it's not even a valid address anymore, but you can figure out where it was at. The location of where Dahmer's apartment was at, which is now a vacant lot. Same with H.H. Holmes' murder castle. There's a post office that sits there, and the other half is a vacant lot. BTK's house, Bob Berdella's, some of them around Cleveland, Anthony Soul, Ariel Castro. A lot of names that people recognize. Yes, I've tried to travel to those, and just recently, I'd say within the last 6-8 months, tried to video introduce the areas as well. Stand there and tell you a little bit about them. That, yeah, we'll hopefully have that going along with the YouTube channel as well, so people can see what they looked like at the time of the crime. We'll kind of mesh that in with what they look like now, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. I do want to say that as we get into the show, there will be adult language used, and there will be descriptions of violence. So please be aware of that. Know that I am not going to describe graphic violence just to get some people off. I will pick and choose where I think it fits to the case to help drive the points home. I have always been one, when I read about these cases, some people like to pick apart the details for their own sadistic purposes. That's not what I do. I feel like some things could be avoided, and you still get the gist of it. I feel like other things need to be folded in there so you can see just how warped some of these things are. So I wanted to make sure that we are clear that it should be a mature audience and be able to handle some of the things we talk about. I know a lot of people talk about Gold Star episodes. I know that's a big last podcast thing is a Gold Star episode. I think maybe at the beginning of the episode, depending on what I'm talking about, I might tell you, hey, you're in for kind of a rough ride, just be aware. We will have the disclaimer, as we've talked about, for every episode, but some of them will be more just a tragic event that you need to know about, where it's not extremely graphic, and you don't need to be as guarded with that. But then there's going to be other ones that, yeah, you need to be aware of what you're getting ready to listen to.
people listening, people watching.
Yeah.
As they go through, they'll realize that you're a plethora of knowledge when it comes to like weird serial killer, not necessarily weird serial killer facts, sure. but things that most people may not be aware of. Like you were saying on Wikipedia, you don't pull from quotes because not only are you going to these sites, but what people may not realize also is you have an extensive FOIA history. You've yes. been around to a lot of these sites and
yes.
maybe not all of them because FOIAs can be complicated.
Correct.
But you have seen quite a fair share of the official documents. These are
yes.
passed on what I would call an urban legend when it comes right. to the serial killer, a common misunderstanding. You've actually seen documentation from that
Correct.
Point. And that adds a whole another facet. To
the, right. And I do read a lot of the books that I have, which you've been to the place. You've seen, I think I have about 5 bookshelves that is full of nothing but books on these things. Some written by the people involved, some written by attorneys involved, whatever the case may be. I read those a little different than a lot of people do. As I'm reading them, I'm picking out dates and locations if they list them. And then I put that in a notebook, and then I try to go from there. So perfect example would be Sam Amaranti's book on Gacy. He was Gacy's defense attorney. When I was reading Sam's book, I was reading it to not only learn his viewpoint, but if he was going to tell me where something took place, I was writing that down too. so I could go see it later. And that's how I got the address for the Elks Lodge that Gacy frequented. I knew he frequented an Elks Lodge, but as you can imagine, in the Chicagoland area, there's probably hundreds of them. Now I was able to pick out the exact one. That's where I got the location of the bridge. They'd mentioned a bridge outside of Chicago. It's actually I-55 down by Joliet. So it's stuff like that. I'm looking to glean locations and knowledge from the books that some people might not think about. Some people might be wanting to get into just what was the crime, why did it happen. I'm looking at, all right, where did it happen so I could go see this place? And Chicagoland is rich for this because organized crime, I forgot about mentioning that. I mean, Mount Carmel Cemetery up there in Hillside, Illinois. Al Capone, Frank Nitti, Machine Gun Jack, Dean O'Banion, Schemer Drucci, who else am I thinking of? Jaime Weiss, Tony Lombardo, Sam Giancana, the brothers, the Genna brothers. So yeah, all those guys are in there. So yeah, I've got to go see that. Try to find those locations. Al Capone's house still stands up there in Chicago. Of course, obviously been to that a number of times. Some other ones are gone. I mean, Johnny Torrio's where they attempted to assassinate Johnny Torrio outside of his place. That it's an apartment complex and a parking lot now, so not much to see there, unfortunately. Dean O'Banion's flower shop is a parking lot. Some of these things get lost, but I at least like to try to put myself in the area and kind of see what I see. I'm not a psychic. I don't see ghosts or anything like that. But when you read a bunch about these things and then you could stand in the spot where it happened, you can kind of see at least for me, I can kind of see the pictures moving in my mind, if that makes any sense to anybody. Most recent example would be in Kansas City at Union Station. I knew the Union Station massacre took place. I didn't know where. The place is massive. I didn't know what end of the building, where things were located. Then with the help of Gary Jenkins, who does Gangland Wire, Gary was actually on the task force that helped bring down the mafia on the Las Vegas skim. I consider Gary a friend in this field. Gary said, yeah, it's down here, and if you go, there is the memorial plaque, and you'll see a couple chips out of the granite where the bullets struck. So now, with that knowledge, last time I was down in Kansas City, I could stand right there, and I'm like, okay, yep, there's bullet hole, there's some stuff chipped off. And you could say, all right, this is, these guys had to have parked right here. Shooter had to have been at that direction, and here's where it went down. So, yeah, putting those pieces together, it is, like you said, it's surreal, and it's fascinating and cool. I'm going to go ahead and say cool because I'd like to think if anybody's
it is cool.
paying attention to this stuff, you're not thinking that, oh, that guy's getting off on all the bloodletting. No, it's not that. It's just cool to stand where history took place, whether it's bright, sunshiny history or dark history. Recently, with Netflix picking up all their true crime stuff, and everybody kind of, there's been a renewed fascination in it. So I might see, all right, recently Netflix dropped Sons of Sam, their documentary. That might shoot me off. Now I want to revisit the Son of Sam murders, and I might decide, hey, this is the week that I dive into that. Not necessarily planned. I do plan on writing down a number of episodes that I want to do, and we'll just kind of go from there and see where it takes us. But yeah, I think I'd like to think that every week I'm going to have something interesting for you to hear. I probably will stick a bit with the format that we've started on Morbidly Macabre, where I pick out whatever month we're recording in, just some key things that happened in that month. Throw that out to you at the beginnings of the month, just as a read through, and then dive deeper into things as we go along. And that won't, those won't be standalone episodes where I just say, hey, it was this, 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 and this. There's my 10 minutes of telling you what happened this month, and that's it for the episode. It won't be that. It'll just be basically, all right, here's what happened this month. Now we're going to head into the case we're talking about. I think to throw into this introduction, I should say that it is my intent to not only talk about these things, but to have people on that know about them as well. I have every intention, because I have built a pretty good network in the true crime community. I would like to bring on a number of people that I know who have written books on certain topics and make it pretty much their show for an episode, if that's what it is, you know, talking about their book. A podcast that I listened to with a lot of regularity before I got so busy was one by Dan Zupansky. I cannot think of the name of it presently, but that's what Dan does. Dan gives you a little bit of background on the case, then he has the author that wrote about the case, and that all show long he just poses them a couple questions, knowing that they know more about it than he does, but that he wants to get him that platform. That's what I hope to do as well. So, yeah, I think that's about the gist of it. Hope we've said a few things here that interest you and you decide to follow along. We'll drop the introductory episode. Hopefully drop that here in the next week or two max. And then we'll start rolling along. Haven't figured out the schedule yet, if it's going to be weekly or every 2 weeks. We'll play with that a little bit more. But I want to throw out there in the introduction of episode that I have to thank you, Austin, for helping me along with this. As I've said on Morbidly Macabre, if you listen to that, and if you don't, why aren't you? Get out there and listen to the Morbidly Macabre podcast as well. But if you've listened to that at all, or you're going to listen to that, I sit on the couch and talk. Austin sits behind the board and does all the work. Mitchell brings what he brings, and it's a good time. But I would not be doing this without you. So while we're going to call it Dark History Time with Brian, you're always going to be right here beside me.
You're going to make me tear up over here.
You'll always be beside me. And when you hear that other voice outside of guests, it will be Austin helping to keep me in line with directive questions to try to keep me on task, which I like to think I do. But when I get on this topic, boy, I can just go all day. So yeah, it wouldn't be what it's going to be without you, and I thank you for that.
I'm excited for how this is going to turn out.
Good.
It's going to be a good adventure for anybody listening. Make sure to listen to Brian. Keep an eye out. He's got some fun stuff coming your way, not just with this, but with YouTube as well.
Correct.
He's going to have a lot of cool footage coming up.
Which, of course, Austin has to help us out with as well.
I can vouch, take my word. It's worth it. Keep your eye out. Sweet.
Thank you. You're too kind. But yeah, that's we got the graphics up. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram right now. I haven't been posting much on there. I don't even think I've shared the Facebook page yet, because I wanted to be able to say, all right, here's episode one coming. I wanted to drop it on everybody as a package, not just piecemeal to begin with. So yeah, keep your eyes open. We're coming your way. And I hope you enjoy what you hear. And if you want to leave me comments, suggestions, anything else, I am open to all of it.